Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 182 of the Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm good, Megan. We're recording on a Friday, and it always feels a little weird. It is weird. It's like, I feel like we cut loose a little more.
Yeah. Like, I really just led into that with a very radio beginning, I have to say. That was...
Well, you're radio. You still have a little radio in you.
I still have a little radio left in me. I am excited because we are firmly in November, which means we are, like, staring down the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
Which means travel.
Uh-huh. Sometimes. Does.
Sometimes. Doesn't always. But if you're like me, you always end up traveling to visit at least somebody during the next 2-month period.
Right.
And usually with kids in tow. So that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah. And I even think travel could be like across town, like, you know, loading everybody up to go over for the big dinner. I mean, that counts because we're going to be getting into all of that.
Yeah. So like all the tricky stuff with, you know, that very public parenting that happens when you're not just in front of strangers, but in front of the people that matter to you, but maybe don't parent the same way that you do, or you feel self-conscious.
And your kids are all out of whack.
Yes. There's sugar. There's always sugar. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that today, but I want to first jump in and ask you a question, Sarah, when we introduce this next sponsor.
Okay.
And that is, how's that holiday shopping going?
You know me, I'm usually way ahead, but this is coming out almost mid-November, and I have not really started. You know, I kind of have started my chicken scratch lists and kind of started thinking, but it's really time to buckle down. So help me out.
Yeah, I know there's like sometimes pressure to find that really special gift for the special people in our lives, and that's not always easy. So I want everyone to check out our sponsor, Canvas People. And Sarah, I already know you're a huge fan, so you've got no excuse.
Yeah.
You've got no excuse for not turning to Canvas People for to solve some of these gift-giving problems. So the way Canvas People works is that you can actually have them print out your favorite photos on a canvas and turn them into really unique works of art. And they look awesome on your wall. I've got one leaned up against a bookshelf. They just look really, really cool and very different and unique. And I have one of a picture of Clara, one of my very favorite photos. And I, you know, could have put it in a frame. But what I love about the canvas photos is that they really don't take anything away from the photo at all. There's no frame. It's just like the whole picture. It looks beautiful.
I totally agree, especially if you have some great color in a favorite photo that you have. And also goes with any decor style. So it's really like you can gift it knowing that you don't have to pick a frame that matches someone's style. It really goes with anything. These are like pieces of art. Great for decor. I just redid the gallery wall in my own family room and used the Canvas People print. But now we're talking about gifts, and I need to get on that and just give everyone a Canvas People print because, oh my gosh, you guys, check out this offer. So this is a really special, very limited holiday offer. So canvaspeople.com is offering their popular 11 by 14 photo canvas for free. That's right, guys, free. These normally sell for $69.99, but for this week only, you will pay nothing. Just cover shipping and handling. So to get your free canvas, text MOMHOUR to 484848. Again, you'll just pay shipping and handling, and this offer will not last.
Yeah, guys, I just want to point out that 11 by 14 is a very legit art size. Like, this is not a photo in a frame. This is like a legit poster size. So this is a fantastic deal. You guys have to check it out.
Definitely. Okay, so you're going to text MOMHOUR to 484848. And just so you know, message and data rates may apply.
All right.
Okay, this is going to be fun.
I'm excited.
All right, so I had to use my little tongue-in-cheek. We're going over the river and through the woods, but maybe not to grandmother's house. It could be to anybody's house. I think the reason we're focusing on being somewhere else, I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of holiday challenges that come with parenting, and we've got like a month and a half of holiday content coming for you guys. So this is not, we're not going to cover everything. We are going to cover heading to grandma's house or wherever you're going. And Megan, I thought it might be kind of fun to use our old favorite way to talk about things, which is things we shouldn't have freaked out so much about when our kids are babies. And we have a few episodes where that's the whole theme, but maybe just for the next little bit.
I'm going to extend that a little bit to toddlers, babies and toddlers.
Oh, totally. Yeah, just in the little years. So when it comes to traveling with kids or heading over to family gatherings with kids, even if you're not traveling long distances, what are some things that you spent a lot of time fretting about back in the day?
Well, you know that public parenting has always been a trigger for me, right? Yeah. And so again, it's like, being in your in-laws space or your parents' space or your sister or brother or friend, really good friend space, like all of those normal public parenting pressures are so magnified. And for me, the way that those tend to come out were two things. I kind of thought about this and I realized that they centered around two things. One was misbehavior and manners.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those were separate and sometimes those were the same. Like mm-hmm. misbehavior could be anything from a, you know, kid throwing things or yeah. throwing a fit at dinner or whatever. And manners is sort of a little more like, what's the word looking at? Like a proactive, like, are they going to say thank you?
Yeah.
Are they going to yes. use the their napkins correctly yes. at the table? And that's something that, you know, I worried about before it was even appropriate. To
right.
worry about. You know,
right.
I worried about it before the kid was even able.
Before anyone would expect a child to have
exactly.
good manners.
Yeah. And then the other one was just me parenting in a way in front of other people that I was comfortable about. I will say that became a lot easier as my other relatives started having kids. And I realized that, like, you know, I wasn't maybe as different as I thought, or like people weren't paying that close of attention to what I was doing anyway. You know, as I got more confident, that became less
right.
trigger.
Well, you actually, it would be good for you to kind of paint the picture when you had your first babies. Like, what were the situations where you were bringing little kids into, and like
yeah.
who else had kids? Like, what did that look like? What was the family dynamic?
Well, my sister had three at okay. that point, and they were, you know, so they were all had, she'd already kind of done it.
Yeah.
In my family. And so that was easy. Like, and taking them to my parents' house was fine. None of my kids had none of my friends had kids yet.
Okay.
So taking them to like gatherings where there was people who, you know, were more like my young friends at
yeah.
that point, we're all in college. That was harder.
Yeah.
You know, cause I wasn't sure what people thought. And then, John's family, he was the first to have kids on his
right.
side. So none of the, neither his brother nor sister had kids, and his parents, you know, hadn't had babies for a long time and things had changed. And
yeah.
so those were the part that that was difficult. And because I sometimes would read into things that weren't there
mm-hmm.
and read in criticisms that weren't there. And then sometimes there really were criticisms. And
yeah.
I think when you're still figuring things out, it's very easy to take those things to heart.
Yes.
And so, yeah. And one other thing I wanted to mention, and I know, Sarah, this, I'm going to guess we probably both have this, although it probably manifested differently.
Yeah.
I had a real hang up about people thinking I wasn't being conscientious.
Mm.
And one of the ways mm-hmm. that came out, two ways, actually, I'm thinking about like crying babies. That was
okay.
one.
Okay. Yep.
People not thinking that like I would think things through for
yeah.
their comfort, I
uh-huh.
guess. And then the other one would be sickness. And that's so tough when you've got a baby who's got those like perma snotty noses
yes.
and you're like, well, I know they're getting over a cold, but what
yes.
if everyone else thinks I'm bringing
right.
a big germy? So I would feel the need to really apologize maybe too much when
yeah.
if I had just said, hey guys, I know they've got a runny nose, just so you know, they're fine.
Like, I know.
I
can
that
totally
was a big
relate
one
to
me.
That. I
yeah.
can totally relate to that. Oh, well, a couple of the things that came up for me, one was in terms of like what I freaked out about at the time. One I've talked about before, and that was like, I just spent a lot of time trying to replicate our home routine wherever we were going to an absurd degree, and down to silly things. Like a couple of things I remember about traveling with like my first baby was like, doing a really awkward bath in a sink before bed when it was already past bedtime, but I had it in my mind that like a bath had to be part of the bedtime routine. Do you know what I mean? She wasn't
yeah.
dirty. It wasn't a fun bath. We were like either in a hotel sink or like my mother-in-law's sink. And it was like, we just had to do a bath because that's what we did at home. And what I guess I thought she would never go to sleep without a bath. I don't know
yeah.
what I thought. And I think new moms can relate. Like if you haven't tested, you work so hard at home setting up this
yes.
structure and the routines. And if you haven't tested it outside the home, there's this like kind of psychotic need to like replicate it wherever you go. And the holidays just ramp that up because there might be late nights, there might be long dinners. And so even more so than traveling maybe like for a summer vacation or something.
And I want to say I've actually read that advice in parenting articles before that you should replicate your home routine as much
right.
as you can. And I think what that overlooks is that it's nothing like your home routine. You're in a different, like babies
yeah.
aren't dumb.
Babies
you know,
aren't dumb.
You're in a different place. Your sleep schedules, no matter how closely you try to stick to your nap schedule, it's still not the same.
And
it's not their home.
Do you know what that advice does? Is it makes moms feel bad. Because
yes.
here's what, if you took a baby or a toddler somewhere and they got really dysregulated and like missed a couple of naps, your natural instincts is you're going to say, okay, well, we need to like have an early bedtime or like
right.
chill out for a day. You're going to do that anyway because you're a conscientious mom. Telling you ahead of time that you've got to somehow like prevent that from happening by sticking
right.
to the home routine, that just puts all the pressure on you. Doesn't allow you to have any fun on
yeah.
said adventure. And like we talked about a million times, the kids may or may not, like some kids are more flexible than others, and you just really don't know what's going to kind of set them off. So
yeah.
it's okay to like try. I have a hard time doing things at like 65%, as we know. So yeah. I spent a lot of time. Another thing I did, and I feel really bad about this, is I had kind of a pretty well-trained sleep through the night baby. Allegra was about 8 months, her first Christmas. So she'd been sleeping through the night for a few months. We'd kind of gotten on track by about 6 months old. And, you know, we did some gentle sleep training and I thought I knew everything. And we flew all the way across the country. She had a runny nose. She had like traveled all day. And I thought, I put her to bed and she woke up crying in the night and I could have gotten up and nursed her and I didn't. I just let her cry like we would at home. And like looking back, I think, God, like get her out of the bed and just take her to bed with you. It's not right. going to like break all of the sleep training you've done. But in my mind, and I remember laying there next to the pack and play, kind of shushing and like doing all this sleep training stuff we'd done at home. But I shouldn't have been doing that in an attic in Connecticut. I should have just, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was so to an absurd extreme of trying to stick with whatever we'd come up with at home. So that was one thing that, a couple other things.
Well, and I just want to jump in there really quick and say like, what the pattern here. And I, later in the show, there's another couple of things that I sort of, point out that this always, the burden always unfairly comes down on mom. Yep. Almost always.
Yep.
And because I bet you Brian wasn't doing that.
Nope. He wasn't. He was sleeping.
He was not. He was asleep. And I remember, you know, I think when I finally kind of gave up the idea, and I was on the other end of the spectrum where I got so relaxed about vacations and stuff that we threw like everything out the window and just picked it up when we got home. But we were a little more relaxed about the stuff anyway. But the reason that was is I remember, and I can't now remember if it was Jacob or Isaac, but I think it was Jacob. I think it was the first kid. I remember a Christmas party or some family gathering that I essentially did not participate in because I wanted to keep the naps the way they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say it was Jacob. Let's just go with that.
Okay.
He's a baby. He was old enough to be paying attention. Mm-hmm. So like 8, 9 months. And I don't remember what the family gathering was, but I remember spending hours trying to get him to go to sleep and he can hear the party.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows his older cousins are all in the other room playing and all the adults are in the other room having fun. He's not going to go to sleep.
Right.
He would have been much more likely to go to sleep if I'd taken him out, held him, given
strapped
him his binky,
in a carrier,
whatever. Yes. And just like, and maybe passed him around the table until he zonked. But because he knew I was trying to keep him from it, he wouldn't sleep. And then it became like this thing where I was anxious and stressed and I just wanted to fall asleep so bad so I could get back to socializing. And he wouldn't. And then I think he was picking up on my attention. And like, I just remember feeling so like weepy. Like I remember sitting there crying because I was so isolated and you're already like, I know when I had little kids, I looked so forward more than I do even now to those family get togethers because man, I was just like lonely.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to see my adult people and get out and have fun and, you know, play cards and have a drink maybe. And like all this other stuff. And like, it's like, you can, it's torture. Like you can hear it all happening and you're separate.
I mean, as you're talking, I'm thinking we could literally stop this entire episode right now if we could convince moms to go into these holiday gatherings with your own happiness as a priority. It sounds so simple, but like we don't do that. And then the kids are the kids will be fine. Whatever you think is going to happen may or may not happen, but they're going to be fine. And we do this like I'm just picturing you in there and I've so been there. I've spent so many I'm a little bit more of an introvert than you, so I will admit that sometimes I was kind of glad to be nursing a baby.
Oh, sure.
But still, I've spent so much time by myself at family gatherings for various reasons. And if that's not what you want to be doing, like prioritize your own enjoyment of said gathering. If you want a break, use the baby as an excuse because they make great excuses.
We'll get into that later, too. But yes, I totally agree. And I think and thankfully, I think that was the last time I did that. And after that, I was just like, screw it. I'm not doing that anymore. And then after that, they were delightful.
Yeah.
Sometimes there was a little meltdown. Sometimes the baby was crankier at bedtime. But I was happy because my cup got filled.
Your cup was full. Exactly. Yeah. You didn't get to that cranky next day nap. And then you were like extra bitter because you also hadn't enjoyed the party. Yeah, totally.
Right.
Something else I wanted to mention that I just over worried about was like packing. It's kind of like packing for the hospital. Like you think that you're going to need everything in your hospital bag when you have a baby. And same thing, like when the first time you head somewhere with a new baby, especially during the holidays, I feel like I needed to pack or ship from Amazon everything I could possibly need, including like a thermometer in case they get sick and like various like diaper creams. And so just remember that there's most likely a Target or a gas station or
a 24-hour like Walgreens on the corner,
exactly,
like half a block away. Yeah.
And just going back to like your own enjoyment, if that kind of obsessive packing is taking away from just general life enjoyment, don't you don't need to do that. Like it'll all be fine. Anything else that you freaked out about? What about like actually in the situations, like at the dinners, at the parties?
That's, I think, when the misbehavior and manners thing was hardest for me. And I want to unpack that a little bit. I think that those are two different things, that they both fall under that umbrella of, am I doing it right?
Yep.
If my kid misbehaves, I evidently am doing it wrong. And if my kid doesn't have good manners, I am evidently doing it wrong. And I think that the way I kind of, I'm going to start with manners, that I sort of evolved into is like just a quiet, gentle reminder to everyone, like napkins and laps, just kind of understated. And then I would keep an eye on everybody. But I don't know how this happened, Sarah. And I'm not sure if it was always this way. And I've just recently noticed, but I've noticed that the family kind of keeps an eye on me when we're eating out. Mm. And I sometimes have to do is look at someone and just shake my head.
You're like a mother duck or something.
It's really weird. And not the big kids don't. Yeah. I mean, but like, you know, I can tell when we're out eating, like that sometimes Claire will glance at me. And if she's doing something like that I would disapprove of, I can just kind of just shake my head, or kind of like I can look at her cup and like she'll move it. I mean, it's just gotten really weird. But I think maybe it's because for so long I just did stuff. Like I'd be like, oops, let's move this glass. Looks like you might knock it over. Oh, you know, like let's not slump on the table. And I think just like 2 decades of repeating those things over and over sunk in on some cellular level.
And it sounds like you do it from a place where you're able to be fairly relaxed about it, at least now. Like maybe you weren't then. But
yeah. And I think I faked it. I think I never was that. I think at the beginning I was not relaxed about it, but I didn't want to come off as being super unfun or like, you know what I mean? So at that point it was almost an act, like, oh, I'm going to be Mary Poppins about this.
Yeah.
And then over time I just became Mary Poppins.
So I want to say something about manners, because partially because I am a West Coast girl married to a New England boy.
Yes, very different.
And so I would say that like, this is a good time to think about like, what is your personal definition of manners in your family? And if you have like a 1 and a 3-year-old, you could define that all you want. They're not going to stick to it. But it is worth thinking about, because I feel like we sometimes, if we're in someone else's house, we not only like hope our kids will meet the baseline we've set, but then also maybe there's this, like, I have felt at times almost like a gap in my own understanding of manners, because, you know, the Northeast and the Southern California are very different in terms of expectations. So I think getting comfortable with like, whatever you've decided are suitable manners in your family. And I know that when we're a guest in someone's home, like you're supposed to, when in Rome, you're supposed to kind of like step up, but don't hold yourself and your kids to that degree, to the degree that you're driving yourself crazy. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think most families are not going to judge little etiquette slips here and there if everyone's doing their best. I mean, maybe I'm being Pollyanna about it, but.
I agree. And like, you know, I still don't know which fork to use half the time. If I'm if I'm faced with more than one, I think I start from the outside.
You think you? Oh, yeah, that's what I've heard. Can I tell a really quick funny story?
Yeah, of course.
We were out to dinner this summer in Rhode Island with my New England relatives. And Brian's sister has a 4-year-old now who had to sit. So the kids all did great. My 3 kids and she was 3 and a half. And then there was a baby. Everybody did great at a fairly fancy restaurant. And once everybody was done, I mean, I think we were even paying the check. It was at the very, very end. My kids were standing up and they were just sort of like, they weren't running around by any means, but they were kind of standing up at our shoulders. I think we were coloring together and I was letting them move lightly around the end of the table. And at the other end, Madison was not allowed to get out of her chair because the meal wasn't over. And that was just an example of like, at this point in my life, I was comfortable that I had okayed that my kids had all sat for the meal. They had sat to eat. Nobody else was eating. We were getting ready to go, but their cousin had to sit. And I could tell she was looking at her mom like, why are they up? And it was just like, I don't know, West Coast, East Coast. Like, it is what it is. But that's taken me 10 years of, you know, of being comfortable with like, well, maybe I'm being perceived as rude, but I think it's okay for us right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a difference between kids quietly, you know, milling about at one end of the table and running up and down and throwing food and starting stuff. And we all know that there's a minimum level of acceptable.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, what do we need to get happily through this meal or this situation?
Exactly.
Right now?
Like I would rather have them like walking around the end of the table than sitting in their chair and screaming, which might have been throwing things anyway.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. I feel like, did I cut you off there about, behavior.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Behavior. So, you know, that's the other side of that kind of that manner coin. And that's something where I can't say that I solved it. I don't think I did. I think we outgrew the point. We just weathered it. We outgrew it. I think that I just, and misbehavior also can kind of tie in with your parenting style. So when they're a baby, they don't misbehave, but you have to deal with them,
right?
You deal with their crying. If you're your mother or your mother-in-law or your aunt or whatever, don't believe in picking up a crying baby, or do believe in picking up a crying baby, or whatever it is that's different from what you are wanting to do. I think there's so much pressure to change. And then you can feel really resentful about that. So I wish I had a solution.
Right.
I think that I just tried as best I could to do what I wanted to do. And we have some solutions for this later too, but and just retreat when you have to. It'll get better at some point. Your kids are going to be old enough that they might be misbehaving, but they're probably going to be doing it at least not in front of everybody.
Right. Yes, you know? That is true.
So it will get better and write it out.
The other thing I wanted to say is, especially to toddlers and preschoolers really feed off of your energy. So if you're really ramped up and maybe if you're like me, you tend to want to control more.
Yeah.
But if you pull in and start to kind of tensely try to control their behavior more, that could very well backfire. And now they're sensing that you're not, mom's not the same mom as normal at home.
Yeah.
And that could actually kind of spiral into worse behavior. So whatever you can do, like we talked about, fill your own cup, literally, figuratively, by just, taking some breaks, having some time to relax, because as soon as you make your job controlling everybody else's behavior, you've set yourself up for a not fun gathering.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about that sickness thing really quick, Sarah. Like, what has been your solution, or how careful are you about taking a kid? Like, everybody has got it. Like, my family my siblings are basically unless your kid's actively throwing up, bring them.
Yeah.
And nobody cares. And part of that's because none of us have had kids who've ended up in the ER a lot.
Right.
We don't have kids who are particularly prone to stomach bugs.
Right.
I know other families who are much more restrictive because they've got kids who get every single sickness, or maybe they've got someone who's immunocompromised, or maybe they've got an old person in the house. And so that's not really been a thing in my family. But I know there's been times when I've still been around gatherings and felt like I had to apologize for the boogers in my kid's nose, even though I know that they're fine. So I'm wondering where do you draw that line?
Yeah. I mean, I think I try to prioritize whoever has the youngest baby or the oldest person. And like you said, sort of gauge how much of a life or death situation is this. Last year, so my sister's baby just turned one. So last Christmas, she was about 8 weeks. And so obviously she hadn't even had any shots yet, definitely still in the newborn stage. Luckily, my kids, none of them were super sick, but we were pretty careful. I mean, at one point, the kids all held the baby the first couple of days. And then, it was Christmas break. Everyone had been passing around. Nobody was actively sick, but I wouldn't say anybody was actively healthy either.
Yeah.
And after a while, I don't know who said it first, but we said, you know what? We're just not going to have the kids hold the baby. It's because they don't know how to not put their face in her face and stuff like that. I'm trying to think of
have you ever just not gone to something because of a sick kid?
I don't think so.
I don't think we ever had either.
I don't think so. But most of my gatherings involve some amount of travel, except for a few Arizona years where we just went up the hill. But then it was just my parents, so they didn't care. But anything that involved really extended family, it would involve kind of a long travel. So it's hard not to.
But you wouldn't even know.
You wouldn't know. I mean,
And
maybe you try and keep the baby a little bit farther away from people, but I don't know.
I've had plenty of people vomiting at my house. I've had kids who vomited at other people's houses because you don't know that it's coming, and then it happens. And what are you supposed to do? It's it's 10 o'clock in the night or in the evening, and it's in the winter and it's snowing and you're hundreds of miles from home. I mean, you don't always have a lot of options.
I think the way I feel about germs and the spread and the contagion is most of the time we're spreading stuff before we know it.
We don't.
So that means two things. One, preventive is really good. Washing your hands, not, coughing into your elbow, all the preventive stuff. Once somebody's sick, the likelihood that you've infected people it has already happened. So at that point, it's just about using common sense and not putting someone with a high fever right in the middle of a bunch of other people. But other than that, the damage has been done. So I don't know. I guess that's how I look
at it. Yeah. No, I totally agree. It's almost too late. And I will also say that doesn't mean you are not careful or don't do anything foolish.
Yes,
agreed. I wouldn't bring a kid who was puking on a plane or something like that. But And I also will let the host kind of determine. Mm-hmm. Like, I've called people before and said, just so you know, Claire's not feeling super great. I think she's probably okay. We're leaving in the morning. Is it cool if I bring her? And almost always the answer has been, yes, we'd want you here.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out when you get here. Maybe we'll quarantine you.
Yep.
I will say, we had a little rash. You know how we had, my family had 4 babies in 1 year. So the year Owen was born.
Right.
There were 3 other babies born that year. And I can't remember. I think he was like 2. The year they were all like 2 or 3. This 2 gatherings in a row was crazy illness, like spread through the family both times. But there was no patient. There was no patient zero that we could ever identify. Yeah. It was really weird how it happened. And at one time it was at my Aunt Paula's house, and we called that the Apollaba virus because it just like happened like so fast and everyone got so sick. And I actually had already gone home, but got sick that night. So like I had just gotten home, and everyone who's left at my aunt's is like barfing, and like they just basically like closed the house down for 3 days. And I was at home, you know, sick.
Yeah.
I think actually all the adults got sick and the kids didn't, which was interesting at that one. And then there was a Christmas or New Year's Eve where like all the kids got sick and there were multiple kids throwing up and nobody ever knew.
Yeah.
Why? We couldn't identify who brought it to us or who's caused it. We were only all together for like 1 day.
Oh my gosh.
And so it just, who knows, you know, but it happens. And you know, now it's a funny story.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
And if you think about it with the newborns, like the really vulnerable ones, you only have to get through like that first winter, hopefully. And then things just feel a little less dire.
A little less fraught. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, should we take a break and then we'll get into maybe some solutions for some of this? Okay, well, I'm excited to talk about PrepDish. PrepDish is a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. The way it works is you sign up and Allison emails you every week with a grocery list and instructions for prepping your meals ahead of time. I love thinking about this time of year. We know when our big turkey dinners are coming. It's so important to continue to meal plan and eat relatively healthy around
between
that.
Between now and then,
if you want to have your energy, mamas. So Allison sends the grocery list. It's really easy. It's separated out by section of the grocery store. You head to the store, you prep your food at home, and then you have meals ready, healthy, paleo, and gluten-free meals ready for the week that come together really easily on whatever nights you choose to serve them. So we got to try the pesto pork chops with roasted mushrooms, broccoli, and tomatoes recently. It was a paleo recipe. Loved it. This is a great way to eat healthy meals that are real foods only. So there's gluten-free, dairy-free, and paleo options and lots of ideas for substituting and customizing depending on how your family likes to eat. And we have a free trial for you guys to try out. 2 weeks absolutely free. You can't beat that. Check out prepdish.com/themomhour to get the deal. Again, you just go to prepdish.com/themomhour and your first 2 weeks of meal plans, grocery list, and prep instructions are free.
Awesome. Well, I am excited to welcome back our sponsor, BetterHelp. So BetterHelp offers professional online counseling and therapy with licensed therapists. Sarah, we know from experience that it can be really helpful to talk to a professional when you're struggling. I think we've both been there, but we also know that it can be really difficult to find good local care, schedule it, and here's the tricky part, show up at an office somewhere when your life is unpredictable, you have little kids underfoot, and maybe add on top of that, if you're dealing with depression or anxiety, it can be really overwhelming. So BetterHelp makes it really easy. They offer 4 communication methods, none of which require you to leave your home.
Yes.
Text, chat, phone, or video. Whatever communication method you're most comfortable with or is easiest for you to use, you have access to help. And I know for myself, like, there have been times in my life when text would have been a lifesaver, like just being able to have that connection without having to like look good or do my hair or be presentable or use my voice. Like, it just, you know, so there's different ways that work for you at different times. It's totally secure, so you can make sure that your information is private and you can easily change counselors if you need to find one that's a better fit for you. It's important to note you must be 18 years or older to use BetterHelp, and it's not a crisis line. But if you think you could benefit from talking to a professional licensed therapist, and I think we all could from time to time, we've also got a special offer for you. This is great. You can try BetterHelp free for 1 week. And when you sign up, you can start communicating with a therapist in under 24 hours. Go to betterhelp.com/mom to get started. Again, that is betterhelp.com/mom.
Do it. Let's get through the holidays.
Yes, exactly.
With our sanity, with some support. All right. So let's just dig into this further. What are some other challenges and maybe some solutions we have for all of this? Do you have any place you want to start? I do have a couple that I haven't even talked about yet.
Yeah. No, get in the ones you haven't talked about yet.
So one thing that has happened to me and I think is really common is when kids do not warm up to relatives right away like in the way that you've put pressure on yourself. So, I mean, we've talked about kind of some of the stressors. One of the fun parts of being out together is showing off your adorable baby and and kids to people you love. And they're so excited to see them. And if you have long distance relatives, this is like, there's a lot built up into this. And then you add holidays and gift giving and meals. And it's like, whoa, it's like a lot of pressure for both you and the kids. So I don't know, Megan, if you have any memory of, I have lots of memories. I had a very, we just talked last week about my first child being very slow to warm up and reserved. I have had kids who, you know, don't want to go play or hang out with grandma or grandpa or who.
Or their cousins sometimes or like other kids who are there.
Totally with cousins. We're still new to the cousin game, but Violet and Madison, the first time they got together, they're about a year and a half apart. And
Well, I, you know, and honestly, I would say we go through that on at casual gatherings. I mean, there are still times that, you know, I go to a hangout with friends or relatives and Clara or Owen don't want to hang out with the kid that they're expected to hang out with at that thing. And I always have to find that balance between, you know, maybe taking them aside and saying, I know like this isn't really your bag, but they're older. So I could do this and say, but could you just, you know, do like a half hour, do an hour, and then we'll make it an early night. And that's a lot easier to do in those, you know, those like relatively short lived gatherings. It's a lot harder. And I think I remember just doing a lot of like, I don't want to say ignoring. That's not the right word. But like, what are you supposed to do about it?
I mean, I think when you have a baby or a toddler who doesn't want to go sit on their aunt or uncle's lap, I don't think you make them, number one. I think you have to respect the baby. But one thing I think you can do is like, if let's say there's a grandma or a great grandma who's really excited to spend time with these kids and the kids are not giving her the time of day, either because they're feeling shy or just whatever. I think you can do things that sort of like help bridge the gap. Like maybe there's an activity that that toddler really wants to do, like decorate a gingerbread house. And it's just enough to be like, hey, why don't the two of you unbox this gingerbread house that I bought. Like give them, you can, I think there are things you can do to help things along. But I would stop short of telling a little kid that that they need to, you know, whatever.
Well, and I think with little ones, I think what you can also provide is proximity. So maybe the baby's not going to get off your lap, but you can sit with the baby on your lap by grandma and the baby can play peekaboo or whatever it is they're comfortable doing.
You know what's going to make the baby laugh and giggle and do all of their cute tricks. So then you can sort of bring grandma in at a place that's comfortable for you. But I guess the point here is don't be surprised if your kids are not as excited to see their great grandparents as you are to introduce them to them. Does that make sense?
Like no,
the kids
totally.
Don't care. The babies don't care. And that can feel disappointing to either side.
Yeah.
But it's just normal. And I think you've got to protect those little, the babies and toddlers from feeling too much pressure there.
Yeah,
I think.
Pressure or overwhelm, and their autonomy is important too. I also, we did brush up against big kids, and I think this also relates to the manners talk from before. I just want to give a shout out, and I don't have any memory of when we did this, but we did an episode about gratitude.
Yep. I think it was
and
2 years ago. But
that
we're
coming into the time of year where that can be seen as a manners or a behavior issue, or can just be like an example of a 3-year-old not giving grandma what she wants, which is a thank you, when he opens the gift that he doesn't want or isn't interested in. So I think we should definitely maybe put a link to that episode in, because we really dug in on like how when kids don't want to say thank you, because they're not grateful for what they got, and we're kind of coming into that time of year, where that's going to be. That can feel like a lot of pressure.
There's so much pressure.
So much pressure. Why?
Okay. So what about, like we talked about, do you have some tips for when you feel like just your parenting is on display? Everybody's watching you.
Yeah. Well, and I think I kind of teased this earlier, but I think it's okay like to do a lot of that parenting away from the group. I don't think you have to feel, you don't have to feel pressured to deal with everything right as it's happening. I think that you can take a child out of the room, take them into a quiet place and talk things over. And I'm not going to say compromise or bribe, because I don't think that you should change your style or rules or values or anything like that just because you're in front of other people. But I do think there could be this like we're in it together kind of feeling, like I know like this is tough. You're tired or you're around kids you don't know, or you have to share your toys, or you're having to share other people's toys or whatever it is. Let's strategize this together, especially for kids who are maybe like 4 and up. I think that you can make a long way if you remove them from the scenario, then you feel better too, because you can have that calm conversation. Maybe you've got an in-law or an elderly relative who's muttering about how when they were little, you know, they would have gotten spanked if they behaved that way. And that puts so much pressure on you. I think whatever you can do to remove the pressure and not feel like you have to do something in front of everyone to prove that you can parent your kid.
I would also like to offer that as many judging relatives as you might be surrounded with, or you think you're surrounded with, there are probably also fellow moms, fellow dads, and people who are like, oh man, I remember that. Like, you're doing a great job.
You're right. So don't assume, they might not say anything.
And don't assume that everybody's judging in the negative way. You very well may be actually setting a great example of parenting. It just happens to be public and it looks really hard, but you probably have some people around you who are like, man, she's really got it together. So don't forget that as well. The other thing I was going to say when you're talking about like four-year-olds is I'm a big fan of setting expectations ahead of time and, you know, picking those couple of hills that you're willing to die on and then letting everything else be the kid's choice. So like, okay, tonight we are going to sit together at the table all together. That's important to mommy and daddy. It's important to grandma and grandpa. I expect you to sit there for this many minutes, and I also need you to wear this shirt. Other than that, we're going to have treats. You get to watch a movie. You could play on my phone while the grownups have happy hour. Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, just remember, like, it's a lot for the kid, and we have
our own vacation.
It's vacation. So, like, make sure that you know and the kid knows the things that are non-negotiable, and then let the rest go.
Yeah, I agree. And when you said that, something that popped into my head is like, I think like if it's a special time, it should be special for the kids too. And it's like almost unfair to expect them to plug along just the way they would at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
While we're getting to have a break and like a totally different experience. Like it's not only unfair, but it's unrealistic.
Yeah.
It is vacation. I like that idea of sticking to a couple of things, but letting everything else go.
Something else I wanted to bring up, and this can happen so easily, even with the best of intentions, but that is looking forward to things and thinking they're going to be really fun and meaningful, and then realizing when they start to happen that like your kids are either too young or it's too late or it's just not going to be what you thought. Or the other side of that is a relative may have planned something that, you know, whether it's a visit to Santa or a dinner out at a restaurant or something that like, let's all go to church together. Let's go have family pictures taken. It's like all these things on paper are like seem normal. And then you get into them with a bunch of little kids and you realize like, oh my gosh, whose idea was this? This is a terrible idea. So, I mean, I don't know other than like we've all been there and you just get better at kind of anticipating that kind of stuff ahead of time. I would just say that don't be afraid to assert yourself if you know something's going to go south. You know, don't be afraid to say, hey, I think we'd like to take a separate car because we might have to leave early.
Oh, or, totally.
You know, like figure out like where's the place where you can accommodate the group and the meaningful activity, but also protect your own sanity and your own family's well-being. And usually there is a middle place. It just usually you have to it's learned by doing. Like you have to be burned a couple of times, I guess.
Sarah, I want to like back up to the thing we like something that we also kind of mentioned or teased in the first half of the show, which is how much of this mental load has to fall on mom, the mental and emotional load of all of it. Let's just validate that you guys, that is a thing.
It is. There is nobody who has thought of all the things even close to the amount that you have. And even if all you're doing is driving across town for one Thanksgiving dinner, like even if it's not, nobody else, you did it. Like, okay, I do have one kind of practical tip, and this is when we travel. So the packing tends to be me and the like thinking of bringing all the things and who's going to wear what and when, especially if we're dressing up. So one thing I do, I've always done this with my husband, and now that the kids are getting older, I do it with them, is I kind of oversee the unpacking process, but then I make sure everybody knows where things go and where things are in wherever we're staying, whether it's a hotel or a family's house, so that I'm not the only one who knows, like, okay, the baby woke up with a fever. Did I bring Tylenol? Where is it? Where are the formal shoes for this night? And so I give a little, like, let's walk through my systems and everyone join me in knowing where things are, so I don't have to be the one that always knows.
Well, I love that because, you know, it's a real bummer to be like, baby needs Tylenol because she's running a fever or something. And I'm the only one who knows where to find it.
It's a real,
it puts so much pressure on
you. It's like a handicap to be the only one who knows? And I would say the same thing for the schedule. If we are, if there's a, like at a wedding, I'm thinking, or something like that, where there's a lot going on, mm-hmm. I don't like to be the only one who knows the schedule, because it puts an undue, it's like, it's too much work. I mean, we need to all share in the, like the cruise ship directing of this. And sometimes we do that to themselves. Sometimes we do it to ourselves, excuse me. Yeah. And I do it to myself. So I've gotten better about bringing my spouse into that and saying like, okay, let me show you kind of what I want for the next couple of days. Here's where the kids' outfits are. Like, here's where I think we should keep the whatever. And that way somebody else is in your head with you, which is always better.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I want to address the, now that you're mentioning things that we do to ourselves.
Yeah.
sort of the emotional side of that as well. And one of those things is I remember feeling like I had to be the one, the public face of our family at all times, at every gathering we were at ever. So that it didn't matter if it was my family, his family, blah, blah, blah. I felt like I had to be like almost the family representative for the, what was it in, not the tribute,
like
the tribute?
Delegate.
The delegate. Yes, the delegate. So what I would find myself doing is getting really overwhelmed. And sometimes you can use your baby as an excuse, like we talked about before. If you have a baby and you can conveniently retreat into a back room to nurse them forever for the rest of the day,
for 12
that's
hours.
Great. But I also want to just point out that dad doesn't get to be the only one who has to escape sometimes to the store.
Yeah.
Get gas. Dads are fantastic.
Yeah.
At, you know, coming up with reasons to leave.
Yeah.
And I know for myself, it just never occurred to me to do that. And then I would get kind of resentful because I'd get stuck like talking to family members I didn't really necessarily want to sit there and talk to the whole time or whatever it was. It's okay for you to do that too. Like, it's okay for you to come up with the reason to run to the store.
Yes. No, I totally agree. I think it was our newsletter essay in the summer. I wrote about how for so long on summer vacations, my entire job had been making sure just that everything was functioning. And then I got to this point where like the kids were pretty self-sufficient and they didn't like, my kids slept so poorly on vacation for so long, Megan, that I don't remember any vacations, because even if they slept well at home, we just never, ever slept when we were anywhere else for so long. So anyway, finally I realized like this last summer, like I need to relearn how to enjoy myself on vacation. And I wrote more about summer stuff. Like
that's right.
I could actually go out on a paddleboard, but I actually had to tell myself, like, there's no one to nurse. There's no one who needs to nap. You don't have to stay in the car with anybody. Like, you can go do this stuff. So I don't know. I think that was a little like a digression, but
no, but it all
you
fits
lose
in.
It. I mean, it's, you lose that because it's habit for so long, and then you kind of have to reclaim it. And probably I could have reclaimed it in small ways sooner than I did.
Well, we've talked about not having to do with traveling to visit people, but we've talked about how easy it is to become so ingrained in being the one who's always on guard, the one who's always in charge, the one who's always at home, that you forget how to do things for yourself.
Like, and
you
other people, then you've trained other people so that they then only know to look to you.
Yeah. Like I had a, you know, and this has nothing to do with family vacations, but like, you know, I've been doing a lot of kayaking over the last like 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. It was like I had to retrain myself that it was okay for me, even on a day I don't even have kids in the house, to like go out on a boat by myself, because that's the kind of thing that would have been a family activity that I would have had to organize. Mm-hmm. And like, it felt weird the first few times I did it by myself. So, you know, if the sooner you can start doing things like asserting that, I don't know, that independence and like just that little bit of like, I'm still a person here.
Yeah.
I can still say, hey, husband or partner or whoever, or mom, if you don't have a partner or they're not there, can you keep an eye on the kids for a few minutes? I got to run to the store. Yeah. You don't have to explain it. Like, probably no one cares.
Yeah.
But just getting out, like, I'm going to run and grab a coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever it is.
I think there's a lot. We did a episode on co-parenting recently. And if you are co-parenting with a spouse and you do the whole, like, your family, his family thing, I think that is, like, that's a whole other topic. But one thing I think Brian and I have gotten pretty good about over the years is, like, if we're with my family, I think he probably steps up slightly more than 50% when it comes to like letting me sit and have a glass of wine and play cards with my dad, and he'll settle the sibling squabble that's going on in the next room, or he'll go put on the movie, and vice versa. When we're with his family or family friends, I do feel like I step up, or his mom was just out visiting, and like I step up and I do a little bit more of the background stuff.
It's maybe
stuff.
Like 55 to 60%.
Yeah. Like yeah, it's definitely not 90-10, but it's enough. Right. So it's like, it's a little bit of an acknowledgement, like you be with your people and I'll be on duty for a little bit. And sometimes that happens through tough conversations. If you don't feel like that share is where it should be, then it requires probably some conversations. But I feel like ours has just sort of settled into this place where I can tell when he's giving me just a little bit of extra time because it's my family, you know, and I try and do the same. So,
yeah.
Well, did we cover? We covered a lot.
I think we did.
Guys, we have done so much holiday content that kind of overlaps a lot of, we've never done this specifically, but I will just link up everything in the show notes. But there is so much. We've answered listener questions about this kind of thing. And we're still relatively early in the holiday season. So if you have a very, like a real specific holiday related listener question, send it to us now because we will do a, we always do a holiday themed listener question. So send it to us now. You can just email hello@themomhour.com, record your voice and send it to us or just email it to us. So I wanted to put that out there before.
Yeah, that's a great idea because we really have covered everything. I can't believe we didn't already cover this. It was actually a big surprise to me.
Yeah, like I feel
this might be it. This might be the last thing we haven't covered, but we'll come up with more stuff.
We can't quit now, so we got to keep finding new things.
Okay, so before we wrap, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Spangler Science Club. We've been having a lot of fun with their science kits, and you'll be hearing more about them this month. But we got to try out the November and December STEM Lab kits this week and are really enjoying them. I did mine with Clara and her cousins. And Sarah, your whole family did yours, right?
Yeah, it was the younger two that just happened to do it. And I did a fun little Instagram story that you guys might have seen. So we will link up Spangler in our show notes as well so you can continue to check them out. And Megan, that's it for this week.
That's it.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.